Our Father, who art in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. St. Hugh of Grenoble, that's near the French Alps, was a great reforming bishop about 900 years ago. He was a great bishop and did quite a bit, despite his profound humility and his shyness. He was painfully shy, they say. And he probably suffered as well from Tourette's syndrome. That is to say, an involuntary impulse to blurt out bad words. Not at all becoming for a bishop, but he always fought against this. When after a long career serving the church, he was near death, he forgot everything, at least in the way of prayers, he had learned by heart, because back then you learned all 150 psalms, just for a starter. He forgot other prayers as well, and he only remembered the Our Father. He would repeat it all day long. That must tire you, said his attendant one day who was waiting on him. Oh no, answered the dying bishop. On the contrary, saying so beautiful a prayer does me the greatest possible good. What is the greatest good, if not to love God and to save your soul? To become a saint, in a word. We've come to the Our Father in our study of the Mass. It's the basic prayer, isn't it? But think of it today as a saint maker. Where does it come from? Why, from the same source as today's gospel, written by St. Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. And who preached this long but lapidary, sermon, but our Savior himself? The scene was no mountain, really. I visited there on a pilgrimage once and offered Mass on its slope. It's actually a low, square-shaped hill near the Sea of Galilee. Our Lord's disciples had followed him there out of the city. They were looking for the truth. They were looking for God. And they left behind family and friends, and they longed to do the will of God. Our Lord was not there when they arrived. He was far off, praying on a high peak, the Horns of Hattin, which is actually an extinct volcano. He prayed to his Father as he would all night long. They waited and they watched for him, and he came back. And then they listened to his words, and finally, about halfway through the sermon, one of them asked our Lord, "How should we pray?" As an answer, he gave them the Our Father, the perfect prayer which summarizes everything, indeed, the gospel itself. We, of course, learn it by heart from childhood. We pray it several times a day, but we should never pray it like children, that is to say, quickly in sort of in a sing-song fashion. When we pray, it is as though Saint Peter or some angel had left heaven's gate unlatched, just a crack. And we hear wonderful things, and God is listening to us through the opening. Faith and hope and charity are here in this prayer. Every divine promise, and also our human sorrows and our needs, every aspiration or good wish for ourselves or for others. That's why it's useful for every occasion, for sorrow or for joy. No wonder it's a saint maker when we pray it, when we say this perfect prayer well. That's why it must always be done with reverence and never rushed. Along with the Hail Mary and the sign of the cross, these are the last things which you, as a Catholic, are liable to remember before your death. Weigh its precious words. It's yours. You know this prayer by heart. Some days you can't pray. You come to church or you kneel down at night and you're agitated, distracted, tired. Do as did St. Hugh of old. He had many a battle to face. Do as did St. Thérèse of Lisieux. For her, it seemed towards the end that there was no heaven and that there was no God. All was darkness, and yet still she prayed its precious words. When you say them, think maybe of just one word or idea in the prayer. Stay with it. Or weigh all of the words slowly as a kind of a little meditation. At Mass today, as I sing the Pater, you say it in your heart most devoutly. And after you make your reparation communion this morning, repeat it again, slowly and well. Say it every day with your family rosary. Pray it before you go to bed. It will do you the greatest possible good. God bless you. Our wrestling is against the rulers of the world of this darkness, the spirits of wickedness in high places. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. With all of the mess last week in Rome, the worship of idols, who are devils actually, in the Vatican itself, and an offering to the goddess Pachamama placed upon the very altar of St. Peter's over the tomb of the Prince of the Apostles, the consummation, in a word, of open public apostasy and the promise of more to come. What were we doing those days of darkness? Well, we just prayed over and over for 40 hours, the masses, the processions, the devotions, your quiet prayer in a visit. We adored the true God. The 40 hours before the Blessed Sacrament exposed on the altar is the Church's most powerful emergency prayer. Exactly 70 years ago, a fighter pilot lost his way in a fog near Fairbanks, Alaska. The soupy mist made for poor visibility. The poor pilot's radio compass quit on him as well. It was dead. And of course, the pilot thought that any minute he would be too. His gas was running low. He was lost, but he was not deserted. Over his earphones, he heard a voice. "Keep talking, Lieutenant. Say anything that comes to mind." It was the ground operator at Ladd Field. He would direct a radio beam at the pilot's voice and thus find the plane's position, and in turn inform the lost flyer. Well, the lieutenant did say the first thing he thought of, repeating the words over and over again as he flew down through the fog as directed, until the curtain lifted and he saw land and then the runway, and he was home safe. Imagine his gratitude to that young sergeant who saved his life. But he only answered, the young man did, "I knew you'd make it, sir. It was the Lord's Prayer, after all, you were saying. Now here, I have to give the Protestants credit. We call it the Our Father because it is our prayer and He is our Father. But they say the Lord's Prayer. But of all things, did you know that that is the proper Latin liturgical title, which you find in the altar missal, Oratio Dominica? Well, call it what you will, but say it. The words of the most beautiful prayer ever composed, taught to us by the Son of God himself, the Our Father. It is a fog today, and although it's a magnificent fall morning, sometimes it does get dark and pretty depressing. But do what I say. Just pray slowly, steadily, reverently, and you'll find your way to eternal land, as did all of the saints whom we honor today. It is our Father. It was given us by Jesus. It summarizes the whole life of the gospel, all the moral law, all of the mass. One early Christian apologist, Tertullian, says, it is our breviary. The breviary is the term that we use for the priest's prayer book, which he carries with him. It's a summary of all the official prayers he must say each day. So too, this is the prayer, the summary, which you carry with you. You know it by heart. It is yours. The Our Father is ours because we are the adopted children by baptism. We alone, strictly speaking, have the right to call God Father because we're in the family by our faith and by our baptism. And thus in the collect of today's Mass, in the Latin of it, we say, Lord, we pray thee, keep thy family in continual godliness. We are the family, and this is our family prayer. And yet, this so powerful prayer of prayers actually wasn't said last week as part of the 40 hours devotions. Most of all on that distinctive litany, we sing a bit of it before Mass today, for the opening and closing ceremonies. When the time comes for it, Father just sings the first two words, Our Father, Pater Noster. And he whispers the rest. Do you remember why that is? It's called the discipline of the secret. In the early centuries, only the baptized Catholics could hear and say the Our Father. It was so holy, it was considered a mystery of the faith. Well, what about the Mass? Well, remember now in our study of the Mass, we're in the Mass of the faithful. This prayer is recited after the canon. And by then, the catechumens or the curious had already departed way back at the offertory. There's more. The Our Father is, or used to be, until the falling away of Christendom, kind of a mass cultural apostasy, which you see today in the West, until the fatherhood of God was pretty much formally rejected, which is why precious little of the brotherhood of man is left. At Mass, we say this prayer to prepare for Holy Communion. It is, as I say, said just after the canon, but it is only the priest who prays it out loud. Why? Well, the idea, once again, is that in the context of Holy Mass, it is considered just so holy that that is only to be said by the priest in vestments at the altar, representing our Lord himself. So St. Augustine says it's a priestly prayer, and so it was until they began changing the Mass in the 1950s. The priest, as he says it, has his hands up and out, upwards towards heaven. In the new order of things, we call it the Novus Ordo, it's generally obligatory, I think, for everybody to hold hands, although sometimes I think they cup their hands out like this, as the Muslims or the Jews do when they pray. We traditional Catholics do without that cozy community moment. We follow the words of this solemn prayer with all of our heart, and we assent to it this time not by saying amen, the priest does that quietly, but by saying the final phrase out loud, usually by means of the choir or the server, sed libera nos a malo, but deliver us from evil. You can tell that those who follow the modern way are saying the rosary with you, maybe say at a wake or some other occasion, because nobody says amen. Things are in such a fog today. Everything is all messed up. But in the baptismal rite for adults, the catechumen, that's what he's called, is made to kneel down and to say by memory the Our Father three times, and each time after, the priest says, arise, complete thy prayer, and say amen. The prayer must be completed. The Our Father has an amen. Remember that. It not only packs a punch against the wicked one as it prepares us at Mass for a worthy Holy Communion, it takes us to the threshold of heaven, doing on earth already what angels and saints are doing before the throne of God, glorifying him, making his name to be holy or hallowed. That's the root of Halloween, which once upon a time, centuries ago, was a beautiful Catholic observance. The name of God, our Father, must be made holy. How? By bringing about the universal reign of his Son, Christ, our King. He leads us in adoration, in submission. It's not some naked Pachamama idol that we're worshiping. It's not the Greta the Grumpy gospel of climate change that we are following. Oh no, it is the submission of our human wills to the divine will of our Heavenly Father through our Mother, the unchanging Church. You do this, and you will not only land in heaven, but you won't get lost along the way. Our Lord says, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.